Conversations with Leaders on Tremendous Life Radio, providing some of today's most influential and inspiring leaders a platform to share their stories of growing up, what happened, and what they're doing today. Now, here's your host, Todd Weaver.
Hey, welcome everybody to Tremendous Life Radio. Thanks for tuning in. It's a real pleasure and a treat for us to welcome Mr. Jeffrey Gittimer to the show. Jeffrey is an expert in sales, customer loyalty, and personal development. He's a business trainer, keynote speaker, and best-selling author. He's often heard saying, people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. Jeffrey, welcome to Tremendous Life Radio.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you for setting such low expectations.
Yeah, my pleasure. Really, it's really, hey, it's great to have you with us. It really is, Jeffrey. I mean, you're like the sales maintenance manager, you know, around the world. And, you know, we want to certainly get to that. But I'd like to, with our guests, we want to get kind of, if you can relate to it and share with us, what you see is kind of your path, how you became who you are today. So if you would.
Well, I grew up in the big city. I grew up in Philadelphia. I sold garments and leisure furniture and all kinds of other stuff in New York City. I always owned my own businesses, and I sold, you know, literally by cold calling. Even when I wrote my first book, I cold called publishers to be able to get it published. So I'm used to selling in a New York City environment.
Well, and,
if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. It's actually, if you can make the sale there, you can make the sale anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I realized I was better than everybody else, and I just kept on going.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I interrupted you. That happens when we're separate, you know, so bear with me. I want to get I don't know who it was in the Wall Street Journal. David Dorsey probably said, what's especially solid in your books is their real grounding in ethics. And that struck me early on. I mean, talk about your early years growing up, or did you just read books to be ethical, or was that imprinted on you? Try to share some of that with us.
Well, my family, you know, my dad was in business for himself. My mother was an entrepreneur. All of my relatives and all my family's friends were in business for themselves. And I learned that the guys that did it the right way won, and the guys that didn't do it the right way lost. My dad would teach me these lessons as often as he possibly could, rest his soul. And all I did was follow their lead. And I found out that if I did things the right way, people would want to do business with me again. And if I tried to be sneaky about it, they wouldn't. And even though sometimes it cost me money because I wouldn't take a sale or I wouldn't make a sale to someone, in the end, I win.
Yeah, well, when you were 6 or 7, finding your way, growing up, did you know you wanted to be an expert in sales? What did you have a dream what you wanted to be? Is that what you wanted to be?
Nah, actually, I wanted to be a businessman like my dad. I had a bunch of early successes in sales. I did fundraising. I sold candy bars door to door when I was 7 years old. So yeah. I knew people would buy from me. I wasn't afraid to do it. I had no reluctance whatsoever. I think sales reluctance is a bunch of crap that's promulgated by people that are trying to sell a seminar on sales reluctance. I think that if you are prepared and you have a great attitude and you have some balls, you can go make sales.
Hey, you know, and that's what, you know, I know you're so, I would guess anyway, that everybody that gets you to speak, because all the value that you bring on sales, you're so focused and honed on talking about that. And I kind of dig a little deeper. And I think our listeners, from what I've heard, the response of the show, really want to learn about your path to getting where you are today. So, I mean, did you have any catastrophes along the way?
Of course. I only went broke once. And that was only for about $918,000. But that was in the early 80s. So I recovered from that significantly. I've been living in Charlotte, North Carolina. I moved down from Philadelphia. I moved to Charlotte in 1988, and I began a business recovery process that ended up, I used the failure as part of my comeuppance to learn how to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you do things too quickly, or you're in over your head, or you spend money the wrong way, you get slapped in the face. And luckily, I was nimble enough to be able to figure out, number one, how to recover, and number two, how to thrive. How to thrive is everything, not survive, thrive. And, you know, I don't want to go into the detail of it because it's really not anybody's business, but let's just say that I've been through as much crap as anybody on the planet. And I still go to New York City. I have an apartment in New York City, so I'm in New York City all the time. I deal with publishers all the time. I still make sales, and I still make sales every day, and that's what makes my career relevant. Many of the people that train sales don't actually make sales, or don't actually make sales anymore.
Right.
And they, you know, they don't get it. I'm a social media aficionado with 4 million views on my YouTube channel and 27,000 subscribers and 80-some thousand Twitter followers. I'm in the mix every day. I tweet myself every day. I post myself every day.
So yeah, well, and then, I mean, you have value to bring, Jeffrey. Everybody, I mean, we know that. So, I mean, that didn't happen overnight. You said you failed. You had some perseverance and all that. You know, and I like what you say at the bottom of your website. In there, you say, I don't know if it's your five values, five principles, or five things, but I count them. It seems like there's five to me. And the first one you say is, I give value first.
Right. And the second one is, I help other people. And right. The third one is, I establish long-term relationships with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one is I strive to be my best at what I love to do. And the last one is I have fun, and I do that every day. And that's my philosophy. Yeah. I live my philosophy. I don't just have a philosophy. I embrace it.
You know, I watched some of those. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, if you watch my videos on YouTube, you'll see that my expressions match or equal or sometimes even exceed my philosophy. You know, some people go, well, you have to add value. That, adding value is bullshit. Giving value first, that's where the world lives. Add value means you got to buy something from me before I give you anything. That's not how I operate. You can go online and get 300 and some of my videos for free. And somehow the world begins to pay me money.
I love it. I love it. But Jeffrey, you spent years learning this through experience, correct?
Of course.
Yeah.
If you cold call in New York City for 3 years, you learn. And you know what? No one can even replicate what I did because you can't cold call anymore. New York City or any place.
Well, and why is that?
You need a badge to get in a building. You need to know specifically where you're going. No one answers their phone anymore. So LinkedIn is created. And, you know, do you use LinkedIn?
Yeah, but not much.
So I don't know how many followers you have or how many connections you have. I have 23,000 connections on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I'm in the top 0.5% of the world. And I do it actively. You know, I don't invite many people, but people want to invite themselves to join me, and I accept them. So I feel as though there's the new cold call is LinkedIn. Anybody that says they make a lot of money cold calling, we have a different definition of the words a lot.
Has the world changed?
Yeah, the world is totally different. Cold calling is for idiots.
Yeah. Well, but you know, you must have been paying attention enough to know that and been adaptable enough to change the way, you know, the way the world's been changing.
Of course. Once the world became socialized, once you could reach 50 million people instead of reaching 50 people, you have to realize that online is the new black.
Right.
And many people haven't tweeted. Many people haven't, you know, done anything with respect to building their social presence or their social proof. And they are complaining. Or their bosses are even dumber, making their salespeople cold call. And then the salespeople quit. And then the boss blames the salesperson for being lousy.
Oh, man. Hey, and it says
there are certain industries where you have to cold call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're in the field and you're canvassing homes or you're canvassing businesses. It's part of the nature of the process, but it's working less and less. Hell, people are reluctant to answer their door.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do it that way. So for the few industries that are left, you know, maybe there's one successful industry cold calling door to door to homes, and that's the cable television industry. And that's only because people are used to seeing the cable guy come to their house. It's kind of okay. But you're not going to sell me insurance door to door. You're not going to sell me Fuller brushes anymore door to door, vacuum cleaners door to door. It's just not going to happen. It's all done online. You know, Mrs. Yeah. Smith or Mrs. Jones is buying it from Amazon.
Yeah, well, what if I'm, Jeffrey, what if I'm out?
By the way, so is Mr. Gittimer. He's buying on Amazon, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so if I'm a hungry young entrepreneur and say, you know, I learned a financial business because I was interested in it, and I really thought it was my passion or my purpose, and I carry some insurance products. I'm an independent insurance guy as well. And I really believe in what I'm doing. I'm providing value. I'm providing a service for somebody, or at least I'm trying to offer a solution. Someone has a need and I have a product I believe in. So what do I do? Do I tweet it?
No, you go network. You go and you're going to make most of your sales locally anyway. You
right.
join a civic organization. You join a chamber of commerce. You join BNI, or you join some kind of sophisticated business-to-business group. Networking group, or you volunteer at a charity and you get to know people and you network in your town. When I moved to Charlotte, I was networking 60 hours a week to build my base. 60. So I, you know, either you decide you're going to work your ass off or you don't. If you want to work a 40-hour week, the best thing to do is get a job at Nordstrom and just sell people clothing when they walk in for 5%.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you've established people follow you. People know that what you're talking about is true. So, and we kind of skipped over the whole thing. You know, I really was trying to get to know how you got into business, you know, but you told me you sold, you know, candy bars and then you went right into business. So, I mean, we're at a spot in the show where.
My dad was in business. So I worked for my dad when I was in college and I realized that, hey, I could start my own business.
Yeah,
so
right.
I did. And, you know, I got a bank loan and I paid the bank loan back and the business became successful. And then I learned how to sell because I didn't know how to sell. And I loved it. I just wanted to be the best salesperson in the world. And when I started to write, I found out I loved that. I want to be the best writer in the world.
Yeah.
And when I started to speak, I found out I loved that. I want to be the best speaker in the world. I don't want to be second best.
Right.
I either want to be best or go home.
Well, when you were learning that, when you were learning and, you know, that hunger of selling and you just knew it or identified it early on. And then, I mean, did you read books or did you just have your own ideas? Did you seek counsel on any of that or you just went nuts?
You have to study. I'm a reader. I studied the old classics and got ideas from them. And then I would learn by doing. If I learned something new that day, I would go out and practice it that day. That's the whole secret. People read a book and then they put the book down. That's a bunch of crap. You read, you find an idea, and then you go try it.
Right.
And then you modify it to your own way of thinking and way of doing. But it doesn't really take a lot other than, you know, being friendly, being enthusiastic, asking the right questions, and being engaging, emotionally engaging. If you can do that, you can win. And if you can't, you go, you know, go to work at CVS and saying, you know, did you want some candy with that? Or go to work at McDonald's and say, do you want French fries with that? That's a great closing line. And by the way, they've sold billions of dollars worth of French fries with it, so don't knock it. But the bottom line is the people that are selling it have to be smarter than the cash register, and most of them are not.
Right, right. And I mean, that's what something that you teach us all, I believe, is that, you know, you can't really sell anybody anything. You know, you can't, they have to.
They have to want it. I mean, do you go to get sold a car? You go to a clothing store. Hey, honey, I'm going to go to the clothing store. I need some shorts. I hope they sell me. No, you go to buy them.
Right.
And here's the interesting thing. You go and you say, you know, I'm going to buy a pair of shorts for about $50. And you see ones that you really like for $80. You'll spend the $80.
Right. And it seems so simple.
It is simple. But most people take it that, you know, they think they got to qualify the buyer and a bunch of crap like that. That stuff is over. I gave a talk today in upstate Pennsylvania. And I said, finding the pain is an old world tactic that's stupid.
Yeah.
And the most interesting thing is there was a Sandler guy in my audience. And that's their whole philosophy, find the pain. And he came up to me afterwards. He goes, well, tell me what else you do. Like, I think I sold him.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go.
People don't want to hear that their philosophy is over because they've worked it in the 70s or 80s and it worked back then. Why isn't it working now? And I'm going to give you one word, the iPhone. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not working. You know, people can look you up and see who you are in 2 seconds. I'm going to Google you. Salespeople used to be able to hide behind anything, and now they can't even hide past a smartphone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luckily, I built a reputation. So if someone comes to visit me and they Google me, they're going to find about, I don't know, 300,000 pages of stuff about me. That's pretty good. And nothing bad, by the way. Yeah. Nothing negative. So I look at it as, what have you done for the last 10 years? And then I saw somebody's Instagram the other day. It said, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people are going, yeah, well, I don't have time for that. And they go back to watching some stupid television show about a housewife.
Yeah.
They're idiots. And they're never going to get anywhere, but they will complain and blame. You know, if it wasn't for this, if my boss was better, if my prices were lower, if customers would buy a little bit more, the economy's bad, the price of my goods is too much, any kind of complaint on the planet, except they'll take responsibility for their own failure. That they won't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, somewhere you say that.
Go ahead.
Somewhere you say that, you know, really to be the best salesperson, you got to be the best person. I think that's what we're kind of talking about with ethics and kind of, you know, integrity and showing up and hard work and honesty. And you sound like you have an edge with you today. You might always have an edge a little bit. So I've never spoken with you before, but, you know, it says that, you know, you like to make people laugh while you're providing them, you know, a solution.
Right. I give them answers. And they realize that if I'm fun and funny to be with, that they will want to be with me. I don't have a slideshow of what's going to happen. You know, I have a value-based presentation, and that's it. And I have a lot of other people that, you know, don't take my word for it. I'll give you 10 people to call, see if I'm worth it or not.
Well, and you're busy pretty much of the time, right?
Yep. Actually, I'm blessed, and that's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made it through the troubled times that we had, and I came through pretty much unscathed, and there's a lot to be thankful for with that. The economy's finally beginning to rebound. Hopefully, we'll be electing a Republican so that someone knows about jobs and business, but even if they don't, I'll still be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when were you?
I thought, hey, the first. Would anybody listen to your show better vote Republican or you're gonna have the same crap.
Hey, what, you know, we talked about a little bit, you mentioned about, you know, because you wrote all those best-selling books, and, you know, I believe the first book, was it your first book, was The Little Red Book of Selling, or did you have books before that?
Actually, I wrote The Sales Bible. That was my first book in 1994, and then I wrote Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless in 98. And then I wrote The Patterson Principles of Selling in 2002, and finally, The Little Red Book in 2004. So I've been writing for 10 years before I produced The Little Red Book.
Ah, okay, there you go. Good. Hey, we have a wild storm here. By the way, we're in Pennsylvania, Jeffrey, so you might have passed by us. We're in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I know where Allentown is. It's somewhere you can't get there from here.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody knows where Allentown is, but it's close to Philadelphia, and everybody knows where Philadelphia is.
That's true, but you know, I just saw Billy Joel a couple of months ago in concert in Madison Square Garden, and when he sang Allentown, the place literally tore the house down.
Is that right? Yeah, that's a we're known for that anyway, but it's a nice spot to live. Really, it really is. So, and it's between the cities, you know. Anyway, that was kind of off the wall, but I just wanted to mention that. I guess it's because it's thunder and lightning. We have a severe storm here right now, too. So anyway, back to you, Jeff, and, you know, the things that you bring to the table. You know, when you wrote the books, you just had those books in you. Were you taking notes, or did someone say, Jeff, you need to write a book?
No. I'm a writer. I write every week. I write a column every week. I've been doing that. In fact, I'll be doing one tonight. I've been doing that for now 22 years.
Wow.
So I have more than 1,100,000 word columns. I've written literally more than 1,000,000 words. Hmm. And I'm just prolific. I get ideas and I keep rolling with them. I see things. I actually, what I do, I'll give you the secret, my two secrets. Number one, I collect ideas. I observe things that are happening. I either like them or I don't like them, and then I start to write about them. That's number one. Number two, and let me give you a partial of that. I see what other people do, and I see whether they've done it right or done it wrong, and I have the ability to see a better way. I can't explain why I have it, but I do. And the second thing is, I simply write like I talk. If you read any of my texts, you think I'm standing there.
Yeah.
So I collect ideas, and I write like I talk. That's it.
So those are the two secrets of Mr. Jeffrey Gittimer, huh?
You got it. And I mean, they're not that big of a secret, but the bottom line is most people are watching television or something stupid.
Yeah.
You know, while you're sleeping, I get up early in the morning. While you're sleeping, I'm making money.
Yeah.
While you're watching television, I'm making money. And I can't describe it any other way. People piss away their time. They know what's on Thursday night at 9 o'clock. I have no concept of what's on Thursday night at 9 o'clock. None. I've never seen an episode of The Sopranos. You know, hit me. Every once in a while, I'll sneak in a Family Guy, but not on television. I'll buy the DVD and watch for 20 minutes. And that's it, because it's funny as hell.
Oh, man. I love it. Hey, what you said you were in upstate New York, upstate PA today. What, I mean, you travel around all over the country, all over the world. How many days a year do you speak?
I do about 100 presentations a year. Actually, with a Democrat, I'll do about 75. With a Republican, I'll do about 100. But I travel all over the world. I'll be in Italy early next month. And I've got a bunch of seminars here domestically. Today, I was at a resort called Nemacolin. Have you ever heard of it?
No, sir.
It's just outside of Pittsburgh. It's unbelievable. It's the most beautiful place on the planet. And there's the guy that built it is the owner of 84 Lumber,
uh-huh.
which I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, yeah.
And he has invested like $50 million in art. And the art hangs on the wall or sculptures or whatever. It's a fantastic place.
Well, when you got back home to do the show anyway, I mean, that's with you traveling around like that, and you're paid well to do it. But it is, even what you said about watching people and seeing if, in your opinion, you might not even said your opinion, right or wrong, and then seeing like a gift of seeing a better way to do it. That's kind of sounds to me like a form of wisdom almost, to be able to learn from other people's right or wrong.
Right. But if you do it for 20 years, you get good at it.
Yeah, right.
Anything you do for a long period of time, as long as you study it, you get good at it. Like I've been writing for 20 years. I read the stuff that I wrote back in 92 when I started to write. It's shitty. But now it's good. You know, I look at it, I go, how the hell did I write this?
Yeah.
But you keep at it, you keep at it, and eventually it becomes pretty good.
Well, and people can learn all about you at Gittimer.com, right? Is that the best place for people to go?
Yeah, or they can get a lot of my body of work is online right now. It's not Gittimer.com, it's Gittimer VT, virtual training. GittimerVT.com, where you can go and subscribe and get 11 of my 12 books, a bunch of webinars, a bunch of weekly lessons. There's like 50 weekly lessons in there. It's an amazing amount of material of mine, an amazing amount.
Yeah, and I mean, all this information and this wisdom is proved out. So it's not theory. It's really fact. It works.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't sell millions of books and not be right. You know, eventually somebody's going to call bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you got coming up, Jeffrey?
I'm going to be writing a book called The New Sale. I'm going to be writing a couple of other books over the course of the next couple of years. I've got a couple of business ventures that I'm working on that I think will be significant. And all you got to do is just subscribe to my email magazine, Sales Caffeine. Go to my website and subscribe, and I'll tell you as the news comes up, you got it.
Sounds like a plan, really.
You ever watch the show Fox and Friends?
No, I haven't.
Watch it. I don't watch it either, but I know of Gretchen Carlson. She has written a book. Make It Real, Get It Real, something like that. I'm helping her promote the book on my email magazine because she's asked me to do it. And those are the kind of fun things that I do.
Yeah.
You know, she's a former Miss America. She's helping girls. I have all girls. I have four daughters and four granddaughters. Oh, keep it real. And I mean, it's totally phenomenal. She's just a wonderful woman. And I'm happy to help her. So that's kind of what I do. You know what I mean? I do the best I can for other people. I don't charge her for anything like that. I feel like if you can help women, then rock the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Well, but you believe in her. I'm sure you wouldn't just be like hacking around if you didn't. So, but that's.
Oh, no, I read the book. Yeah, no, I read the book. I apologize. I'm old. Sometimes I can't always get everything I want right away. But I'm going to find her book right now. Make sure I'm not full of soup.
You're not that old, Jeffrey. You got a couple good years left in you, I'm sure.
You sure?
No, I mean, as sure as I can be.
Yeah. Let me see, where's Gretchen? Here we go. Yeah, Getting Real.
Good.
And she's just, her book is available on Amazon. I think it came out today or tomorrow. Yeah, it comes out tomorrow.
Good. So we got a little bit of preemptive information.
Gretchen wins today. But I love doing that kind of stuff for other people. People have helped me. And that's how I win. How did you come up with Tremendous Life? How did you come up with the name for that?
Charlie Tremendous Jones. The Tremendous Life Books is just real close by here. And Tracy Jones and I are good friends. And, you know, Charlie was a big influence on my father. And it's kind of wild the way it kind of has been working out.
I don't know whether you know it or not, but he was my speaking mentor.
Is that right?
Yeah, I spent days at his home in Mechanicsburg and in his library, and we've spoken around the country together. He's been to my home. After he passed away, I still hung out with Tracy and Gloria. I mean, I feel like I'm part of their family. I love them. They are wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah, I have the same feeling. Actually, I think yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of Mr. Blue's passing. So Tracy, you know, Tracy loved that dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and you know, Gloria's a great lady. I made pot pie. We made pot pie in her kitchen. She never knew us at all. And Tracy said, "Hey, here's Todd. They're going to be making chicken pot pie here." So she just said, "Okay." Yeah, we had a great time. Spent like a day and a half there making like vats of chicken pot pie. Cool. That's good.
Yeah,
Jeffrey,
they're a classic American family.
No, absolutely. You know, they're faith-based.
Based on values.
Yep. Charlie loved books. I never had the honor or the pleasure. I didn't take the opportunity to meet Charlie, you know. But my father, I remember growing up, my father came home and he was saying, "Tremendous." He saw Charlie at a seminar and it like changed his life, you know what I mean? And so he was like, I mean, he was a pretty positive guy. He helped a lot of guys too. And, you know, after he saw Charlie, man, it was just like tremendous. It was on.
Cool.
You know, a lot of the guests like yourself, a lot of guys, Charlie's touched maybe millions of lives, you know, but the love, his love for books, and his love for personal development. And he kind of talked, he might not have said bullshit, but maybe he did behind closed doors. But, you know, he called people thumbsuckers, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Yeah, Charlie never swore. I never heard him swear. He's, you know, he was a person of faith, but he wasn't fake about it. He was real.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, up to the day he died, he was real.
Yeah. Oh, I believe that. I believe that.
I gave a speech. I was inducted in the Hall of Fame, and Charles was one of my main supporters. And I talked to, he couldn't be there that night because he was so sick. And I said, listen, when I die, I want to die like Charlie Jones. Works up to the last minute, you know, is a good guy, still helps other people as much as he can, gets on a plane, does whatever, and he's, you know, he was daunted by nothing or no one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Tracy, I tell Tracy often, the nut doesn't fall too far from the tree, you know what I mean? It's just, I mean, that's why I asked you earlier about maybe what influenced you, who influenced you, you know, I mean, early on, you know, but you know, Charlie influenced you in a lot of years.
Yeah, my dad was an early influencer, and from a sales perspective, I learned selling and positive attitude from reading Napoleon Hill, mm-hmm. from reading Dale Carnegie, from cassette tapes that at the time were like the state of the art, like J. Douglas Edwards, and even from Zig Ziglar, but Earl Nightingale was like he was my guiding light, literally, and. You know, I read and I listened and I read and I listened. I got involved in network marketing, which at the time they called multi-level marketing. And Glenn Turner was my guy. But all of them preached attitude. All of them teach do it the right way. All of them teach, you know, give value to other people. And that's how I grew up in the business world.
Yeah. Yep. And I think all of them also teach you got to do something. Like you talked about, put it into some sort of practical application.
Yeah, get out of your own way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get up early. To me, well, get up early, work your ass off, go to sleep, and repeat the process.
Yeah,
that's a pretty easy formula.
Jeffrey, listen.
No, wait a minute. Get up early, work your ass off, do the right thing, and then repeat the process.
There you go. Well, it seems like it's been working for you for a long time, and you certainly have affected positively, like, I don't even know, countless people. So, I mean, we listen to what you have to say, and you sharing your experience is like a huge treat and a huge value for us. So, and
I'll tell you, Charlie Jones was a tremendous influence on me. I mean, he preached morality, he preached ethics, and you did what he wants, you know, you follow him. Because you realize how successful he's been, number one, but he lived it. He didn't just preach it. He lived it.
Right, and that's the difference. You know, you get into somebody's home, and then you see how they live. It's not just podium talk. It's, you know it. You know, I look, when I have the opportunity to get in people I respect's home, I mean, I look at what books they have on their book. You know, and they're on their desk, or I look what's beside their reading chair. You know, I'm interested in those kind of things. It matters. And Charlie always said that you're going to be the same 5 years as you are today, except for two things, the people you meet and the books you read. I mean, he says that every time you hear him speak.
I've been to his home so many times that I literally had to find him a speaking engagement in Charlotte to make sure he would come to my home. I want him to see how I live. I wanted to be in my studio. I wanted to, you know what I mean?
I wanted to
see that I was a true next generation guy.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to where he did came to my home. And, you know, it's a reverence for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And the joy I'm sure Charlie felt, he knows, but he already knew it. But I mean that to reaffirm that, you know, he is bringing value to other people. You know, he has... Exactly. He's a catalyst for change. You know, that's good stuff. But you're hungry for it. You were hungry. You know, we can't reach everybody. If somebody wants to watch whatever's on 9 o'clock Thursday, there's not a whole lot I can do for them.
There's millions of people that want to do that. Rock the house. My dad taught me growing up, son, somebody has to deliver the mail. So they're not all, not everybody's going to own the post office.
Yeah. Jeffrey, it's been great having you with us. It really has been. And that really, so the best place is GittimerVT.com. Is that correct?
GittimerVT.com, or go to my website, Gittimer.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Gittimer. You can follow me on Instagram, at Jeffrey Gittimer, all one word. I mean, I, you know, go to Google, type in Jeffrey Gittimer, hit return, and you'll have 1,000 ways to find me. That's the easiest thing.
All right. Well, you're not hiding out.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, I have a high profile, whether I like it or not.
Well, you're living right, so it doesn't really matter, right? That's fine. You have nothing to hide, so that's freedom, man. That's real freedom.
I'm keeping it clean.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeffrey, really, it's been a real pleasure. I mean, we really appreciate you taking time out and, you know, sharing some of your story with us here at Tremendous Life Radio.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening, please.
Okay, I will. And I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
All right, thanks, Jeff. There you have it, Mr. Jeffrey Gittimer. What a guy, I'll tell you. He's one of a kind. That's Jeffrey Gittimer, Jeff at Gittimer.com. Or do what he says, or do everything he says. You can hit Jeffrey Gittimer on Google and hit enter and follow it from there. Listen, we really appreciate everybody joining us. There has been a severe storm here tonight. A little scary in here. The lights were flickering on and off. But we appreciate everybody that's listened to the show and is going to listen to the show. Again, thanks to Mr. Jeffrey Gittimer, the sales manager guy, right? Sales maintenance manager, Mr. Jeffrey Gittimer. You can get on over to the website, Tremendous Life Radio. Listen to all the past conversations. Just hit the vault there. All the conversations are recorded there for you. Easy access. Get over to iTunes and just search Tremendous Life Radio. You can take us with you. Until next time, make it a great day.